Hello again, everyone. Bernie Miklas back with you with the happy hour version edition of the Bernie Show here on my YouTube channel. Thanks for your support and all the comments. I was in there poking around after the morning video that I did on Ali Marmol, and some good comments in there. I got a little sassy. I think I'm entitled. No disrespect intended. I get a little salty sometimes. Speaking of salty, I wish I had a margarita right now, right? Getting close to the weekend, maybe tomorrow. Anyway, here's what I want to talk about today. I've been giving away some team awards or started the process. Remember the other day, I had like three, not exactly a reward, but I had like three most disappointed Cardinals. You all responded with a lot of good suggestions or what you would do differently, who you would have on the list. It was good reading, and I appreciate it as always. Today, I'm going to talk about the team MVP, and the first thing I was going to do is decide between two players. And then I thought, you know, there's really no reason to do that. It isn't that I'm being a wimp and I don't want to pick one. But it's always weird to me when you're trying to choose between a position player and a pitcher. You know, position players in there every day. Pitchers can impact the games, and no question about it. They're very, very important. But I think we judge hitters, everyday players, a little differently. And I think pitchers have their own category, just like it is in, you know, Major League Awards every season. You know, pitchers have won the MVP award. Don't get me wrong. It can happen. There's nothing wrong with it. But for the most part, they're kind of separated. You know, Cy Young for best pitcher in each league. And then you got your MVP, almost always a position player in each league. So I'm going to follow the same formula with the Cardinals. I think the MVP, as far as the position players, the best all-around overall player, I think it's Mason Winn, and I don't really think anybody would push against that. If you do, you better have a good case, because I don't think you're going to budge me off of this one. Mason Winn, I know he's, you know, at times late in the season, he's got a little tuckered out here and there, but really, what an incredible rookie season at age 22. I was looking at this earlier, and Mason Winn, I used the baseball reference version of wins above replacement, and I'm not going to get all complicated, get in the weeds, but I'm just telling you, I just wanted a quick and easy measurement. And here are the rookie players in the history of the St. Louis Cardinals that have the highest wins above replacement value in their rookie season. Number one, Albert Pujols. Number two, Lou Kline. That was back in 1943. Stan the Man Musial in 1942. Then comes Rogers Hornsby, fourth on the list back in 1916. And then tied for fifth are Johnny Mize and Mason Winn. So there's only been four Cardinals rookies in the history of the franchise that have had a better all-around season than Mason Winn. And that's the key phrase, all-around season, right? Not just, well, the guy hit 40 home runs, or he drove in 120. No, this is the beauty of Mason Winn's game is the fact he influences games in so many, many, many different ways. Now follow along with this one to kind of show you what I mean. This next thing I'm going to tell you, it just perfectly sums up the variety of skills that he has that benefit the Cardinals, right? There's been only one rookie in the history of the franchise who has done this, and this is a combination. You have to listen to the numbers, right? And thank you for doing that. 30 doubles in a season, rookie season, 30 doubles, at least five triples, at least 15 home runs, at least five runs batted in, at least 80 runs scored, at least 150 hits, a minimum of at least 10 stolen bases, a minimum of four wins above replacement. Winn has 4.6. And the other one I would throw in there is 14 defensive runs saved, minimum of 14 defensive runs saved. So all those categories, that combination of those categories, the only rookie in the history of the St. Louis Cardinals to put that rookie season combination together is Mason Wynn. Now, if you think about all the illustrious players that have been that have proudly adorned the birds and the bat and have been part of the this great heritage and great traditional classic franchise, for Mason Wynn to be the only person to put that together, wow, that kind of blows me away, really. It really, really does. And the other thing about Mason Wynn is the way his all-around game compares to other rookies. I'm talking about major league rookies this season. Now, he's not going to win Rookie of the Year in the National League. You know, everyone's gaga, as they should be. I'm not being sarcastic, over Jackson Merrill, the rookie center fielder in San Diego. He's had a really good year. But if you go by baseball reference wins above replacement, this is among all major league rookies. Mason Wynn ranks first in wins above replacement. He ranks first in defensive wins above replacement. He ranks first in wins above average. Sorry for the metrics, but these things assess value. And he is third in offensive wins above replacement among rookies. So he leads in several categories. He's third in another, and he's on the leaderboard for things like home runs, doubles, triples, RBIs, runs scored, so on and so forth. About the only thing that Mason Wynn, and I'm not looking to nitpick at all. I mean, a huge fan of his game. But the one thing, you know, I would point out, and we were talking about this in the comment section earlier today, because one of you, and that's fine, you were criticizing Ali Marmol for taking so long to put Mason Wynn in the leadoff spot. And frankly, I think that was actually one of the biggest mistakes Ali Marmol made this year, putting him into the leadoff spot. Because for as good as he is, and this is going to get people mad, and I have no idea why, because I'm not just sitting here, you know, blowing my stack and just spouting a bunch of stuff without backing it up. Mason Wynn, you know, and this doesn't include the today's game at Colorado. Mason Wynn's leadoff on base percentage for the season is .289. And numbers as a leadoff man are not very good at all. They're below average. If you use a fancy pants metric, it's about 7 or 8% below average offensively when he bat, league average offensively when he bats first in the lineup. And if you look at his numbers, I'm just going to give you, you know, one number. If you look at where he is when he bats leadoff compared to where he is and what he's done, I'm looking at my notes here, pardon me, when he hits in other spots of the lineup, any other spot in the lineup, usually before that, it was like seventh, eighth, or ninth. When he bats leadoff this year, Mason Wynn, .247 average, a really terrible .289 on base percentage. And then his slugging percentage, not bad for a leadoff guy, .402. But there have been 24 hitters that have had at least 300 plate appearances as a leadoff man this year. Mason Wynn ranks 22nd out of the 24 in on base percentage. The whole point of being a leadoff man is setting the table. Not that anybody was going to drive him in very often, right? The old RISP bug. But, you know, Mason Wynn's second from the bottom in terms of leadoff OBP. When he batted seventh, eighth, or ninth this season, there might have been a number six spot in there somewhere, hit .327. His on-base percentage was .382. His slugging percentage was .456, and he was about 34% above the league average offensively. He wasn't just a good hitter towards the bottom of the lineup. He was a great hitter. He really was. And I was happy seeing him down there because he was driving in runs. I mean, and when you bat a guy down towards the bottom, in a lot of ways, it gives you the old double leadoff hitter thing, especially if he's batting ninth. Because when the lineup rolls around, in a lot of ways, you know, the way it's going to kind of play out, Wynn will be rotated up later in the game where maybe he is leading off an inning or batting second in an inning. So I just didn't think it made a lot of sense, and it didn't, except if Ali Marmol's point was to try to develop him as a leadoff hitter, well, That's fine, but that's something you do in a transition year. That's something you do maybe next year. You say, well, listen, I want to find out if he can bat leadoff. And then the other thing, too, and this is the nitpick, I guess you could say, you know, he has 10 stolen bases this year, but he's been thrown out five times. He is not a good base stealer. And that's one part of his game, I would say, that Mason Wynn needs to improve, right? But listen, I didn't mean to get too deep into the whole should he have batted leadoff thing, but it is a part of his season. It really is. It's been a big part of his season. But no manager that I'm aware of, well, I shouldn't say that because I'm sure if I went back even in my memory, I could think of somebody. But, you know, you give about 455 plate appearances in a leadoff spot to a guy that's got an on-base percentage under 300. I can't go there with that one. But again, it's supported by facts, not by me just wanting to be big mouth. All right. So, but Mason Wynn, man, everything, you know, there's a couple other things about him. His defense is great. His arm is great. His range is great. His two strike hitting. I mean, he's 22 years old. He's so mature with his two strike hitting. He is, he's so smart with his two strike hitting. He's just a savvy guy, and he's still learning, and he's only going to get better. In terms of maturity, he is so far ahead. I'm talking about maturing as a baseball player. I'm not talking about as a human being. Mason Wynn's maturity level at his age is so far beyond Jordan Walker and Nolan Gorman's baseball maturity. At their ages, and they're a little older than him, I think. Maybe. I can't remember whether Wynn's I think Wynn is a little younger than Jordan Walker, but don't hold me against that. It's close. Just a savvy guy. And the other thing, this sort of goes along with the two-strike hitting approach, which is really smart, and he's one of the better hitters in baseball with two strikes. Is the way he peppers the entire field with hits. I looked this up today, and he's got 56 hits, Mason Wynn, 56 hits when he pulls the ball, hits it to left. He's got 44 hits to the opposite field, and he's got 44 hits straight away. I mean, good luck trying to defend that. I mean, he's not predictable. He can beat your defense because he's willing to hit it to right, go opposite field. He loves to drive the ball up the middle. When he gets a pitch he can pull, he'll pull it. But he's not trying to pull pitches that he can't get to because he's trying to hit home runs. He's like, oh, I can drive this thing. And that's how he gets a lot of his doubles and his home runs. Just smart. Just really, really smart. A great natural feel for the game. Seeing a pitch, identifying a pitch, knowing what to do with that pitch, rather than say, oh, I got to go hit a home run, hit a home run, got to hit a home run, got to hit a home run. No, he's not. No. He's like, okay, pitch me. How you going to pitch me? All right, here's what I'm going to do. Boop, little hit to right field, if that's what it takes. So he's a hell of a player, man, and the Cardinals are fortunate to have him. Hard-nosed guy, though, too, also intense. And we talk about how this team doesn't have leadership, and they don't. They really don't have quality leadership. I'm talking about in the players' ranks. Mason Wynn's awfully young, but in the near future, he's going to take over that clubhouse. And they'll be better for it because he's got all the trademark qualities of a natural-born leader as an athlete. So I look forward to that day. So anyway, I don't think there's any doubt Mason Wynn is the MVP of the Cardinals this year. And I think Ryan Helsley would be the Cy Young of this staff. And I'm going to probably talk about him tomorrow. But Ryan Helsley, what an incredible season as their closer. 48 saves, tied Trevor Rosenthal for the single season record. They've got three games left at San Francisco. I'm hoping that Helsley can get number 49, because that would be pretty cool. And this is these two guys, along with Andre Pallante. And by the way, I wrote about these three guys over at scoopsnetwork.com. I'm going to check that out because the Cardinals are, you know, they're finalizing a disappointing season. But those three guys, Helsley, Wynn, and Andre Pallante, they stood out. they separated themselves from the rest of the team in terms of having distinguishing themselves with a successful season, a really successful season for different reasons, all three of them. Wynn is just a rookie, and he came up at the end of last year, and he was overmatched, but not overwhelmed. And you wondered, well, how good can he be in a full season? Is he ready yet? And he answered the bell on that one. Helsley has never been able to stay healthy or fresh during a full season. The injuries have been a problem. The fatigue has been a problem. And here I go again. I'm not trying to be a rabble rouser. I'm not trying to stir people up. Just to be a troll, I'm not trolling anybody. I swear, I'm not trolling anybody. But Ali Marmol came up. Oh, here we go again, Bernie. Ali Marmol came up with a plan because he wanted Ryan Helsley available to close out games. And he didn't want to see Helsley go on the IL for 30 days, 38 days, 40 days, whatever it is. Well, he didn't want to see him get a tired arm. And so Marmol said, you know, it just doesn't make sense to have him try to do these more than one inning appearances because it takes a lot out of him. So we're just going to limit it the best we can. We got a safe situation, or it's a tie game in extra innings, and we're going to save him for that. And then he can just empty it out and he can pitch and he can go max intensity. And then chances are he can come back the next day and do it again. But if you go try to go multiple innings or an inning plus, maybe it's an inning and two thirds or whatever, he doesn't recover well from those things. And last year, I wasn't doing a YouTube channel thing yet, but last year I used to raise Kane about that because it's like, wait a minute, the numbers show that he's not as good in those more than one inning relief appearances. And Marmol, to his credit, he adjusted. He got it right. He changed the way he uses Helsley, and you know what happened? Well, here we are, three games to go, and he's still pitching. He's still thriving. And you know what kind of difference this made, other than the fact there were no injuries this year, right? The other thing about it, Ryan Helsley's numbers after the All-Star break, ERA, strikeout rate, walk rate, batting average against, things like that, all of his numbers that matter have been better in the second half after the break than they were in the first half, meaning he kept his endurance and his stamina and his viability and his effectiveness all season. It didn't taper off. He didn't decline because he was tired. He was actually stronger in the second half, and so that worked out great. The one thing, and this is a little bit of a nerd stat, but Ryan Helsley this year, the Cardinals have won 81 games. Ryan Helsley has saved almost 60% of their 81 wins. Now you say, well, what's the big deal? I went back and I looked at Cardinals closers who have had more than 40 games in a season. And I want to say, well, how many did they save? Like in terms of like, you know, Cardinals, like for example, Trevor Rosenthal had 48 saves in 2015. That team won 100 games. So he saved 48 out of their 100 victories. There's nothing wrong with that. That's totally fine. Helsley's got 48 saves, but he's done it in only 81 victories. My point is they leaned on him. They relied heavily on him. And no closer they've ever had in the regular season, and I'm talking about maybe during the Bill DeWitt era because I don't want to offend anybody. We talk about Bruce Sutter or whatever. But at least in the Bill DeWitt era, there's no question about it. No single season team has ever relied regular season on a closer dependent on this guy as much as the Cardinals have. And he did a fantastic job. He came through in a brilliant fashion. And the pitching coach, who Dusty Blake, Coach iPad, as I like to call him, but actually there's some knowledge in that iPad, so I'm not going to be sarcastic about that. Just said, you know, another thing that can really keep some gas in your tank is you throw your fastball less and your slider more because your slider is really good. You got to believe in it more. And Helsley said, makes sense. So we'll do that. So Helsley, that slider became his go-to pitch when he would get two strikes on a hitter, especially. And what he was able to do, left-handed hitters and right-handed hitters alike, the way he was able to dominate them and put them away with that slider was nasty stuff. It was vile stuff. The slider made all the difference in the world. So think about the next time that you think or someone you know thinks or you're reading somebody say, managers don't matter. Coaches don't matter. They don't make a difference. Yeah, they do. Okay. They're not a cure-all. They're not miracle workers, right? And they're also not the reason to blame, you know, anytime a player's in a slump, it's always the hitting coach, you know, no. Good coaches can make a big difference as long as the player respects them enough to take their advice and put stuff into effect. Helsley did that this year, and he had just a phenomenal season. And I'm going to talk about him more because then the question will come is like, do they trade him this offseason? He's got 1 year to go. We dabbled in that a little bit a couple weeks ago. And I think we ought to do a larger video on that topic alone. And I'm trying to think if there was anything else about Helsley in terms of that you should know. I just think it's just across the board. It's just fantastic. You know, if you look at the Cardinals, for example, today they lost. When they took a lead into the eighth inning, they lost Ryan Fernandez, who's had a heck of a year. And I know some people want to like base a whole season because a guy was bad one day. Oh, he sucks. You know, no, he had a bad day. Ryan Fernandez has been really good for the Cardinals this year. He's a rookie. He's been really good. Great discovery. Heim Bloom gets the check mark for that one. Anyway, they lost a game today when they had a lead. I think going into the bottom of the seventh or the bottom of the eighth. Sorry, I'm screwing this up. But when they've led through seven innings this year, the Cardinals before today were 62-3, and the Rockies unloaded on Fernandez in the eighth. So 62-3 when they've led after seven innings. Now 62-4. That's about the fourth or fifth best winning percentage in terms of what's your winning percentage when you lead after seven. Cardinals going into today had the fourth best winning percentage in those games. And, you know, the setup guys have had a lot to do with that. But then there was no save opportunity today. There was no lead through eight innings today. In other words, Helsley time. The Cardinals are 67-1 this season when they have a lead after eight innings. And that tells you not only about how great of a season and how reliable Helsley has been, it also tells you about the bullpen setup has worked very well, building that bridge to Helsley. So hats off to Helsley. This hat, by the way, 1932 Cuban Stars. They were an old Negro Leagues team. And it was weird. The 1932 Stars, the Cuban Stars, oddly enough, they played 22 games that season. I probably ran out of money or something. I don't know. But I couldn't resist this one. I actually got this one about a year ago. I just haven't worn it enough. I think that's going to do it. I don't know that there's going to be anybody griping about the picks of Mason Wynn as the MVP and Ryan Helsley as the team Cy Young Award winner. I think those are really obvious picks. So this is probably a boring video because I didn't do anything that would stir the old pot. Oh, that's right. I did. I actually gave Ali Marmol credit for something. Can't do that, Bernie. You know, that's, you're going to have the authorities knocking on your door. You know, that's a finable offense. They may even take you to jail for doing that, St. Louis. You cannot praise him under any circumstances. It's against the law. So anyway, I'm just kidding, man. Don't get mad. I'm just goofing. It's late in the day. I've been working all day. I'm a little punchy. Ms. Bernie wasn't here today. Hadn't been here for a couple of days. She's out on business. And I don't know if any of you have done this. And my rambling will stop after I finish this thought. I don't know how many of you have ever had the honor and the privilege of taking care of five cats. Cats are very demanding. They expect like five-star restaurant wait service, right? Like you better get to their table, metaphorically speaking. You better get to that table quick. They're snapping their fingers. And I won't even get into the litter boxes. Won't even tell you about that. Five cats? Are you kidding me? You wonder why maybe I'm a little frazzled at this moment? Listen, you all have a great night, okay? We'll be back tomorrow here on the Bernie Show channel on YouTube. And thank you again for all your support.